Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Thriving as Christians, becoming what God wants us to be, and doing what God wants us to do for in the greatest way that we can. We have talked about several things. Number one, we've talked about trusting God, that we cannot be what God wants us to be. We cannot thrive as Christians unless we are trusting Him. That is, we need to trust Him for salvation. We need to ask Him to save us, not trust our good works or baptism or anything else. We need to trust Jesus for salvation. We also said we need to trust His Word. We have to trust His Word enough to obey His Word when His Word seems contrary to everything else that we're hearing. We have to trust His Word and obey His Word and read His Word and apply His Word to our life. Then we said, number two, we need to honor Him. If we are going to thrive as Christians, we need to honor Him. And that simply means we give Him credit for everything in our life. We don't give the devil credit for anything. We recognize that He is the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords, and that nothing can touch our lives unless He allows it. Say amen to that. We need to understand that. So we give Him credit for everything. All things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. If I achieve anything in my life, it's because of Him. If we accomplish anything, it's because of Him, and we need to give Him credit for everything. That is honoring God. Then we said, number three, that our purpose in life is to represent God, and that we need to understand the only reason that God leaves us in this human body is so that we can represent Him. Most of the world does not understand why mankind was created. The Bible tells us very simply, we were created in the image of God, we were created in His likeness, and our whole purpose is to represent Him. Now, the vast majority of the world can't do that because they are spiritually dead and separated from God. But when you got saved, He made you a new creature in Christ. You became new, and when you became new, you were able to become His ambassador, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So now we are His ambassadors. Where we go to represent Him. Whatever we do in our neighborhood, in our family, at work, wherever God sends us, in our schools, we're to represent Jesus Christ. And so we're to trust Him, we're to honor Him, we're to represent Him. And then last week we talked about investing in His kingdom, investing our time, investing our talent, and investing our treasure in the kingdom of God. If we're going to thrive, we must understand that it's all about His kingdom. It's not about me attaining things, getting things for myself. It's me doing everything I can, investing my life in His kingdom. Now, today and next week, we're going to get down into some real nitty-gritty stuff. We're going to get into some stuff that's very, very, very practical in your life. In fact, I'm going to give you an assignment at the end of the service that I want you to take home and do. In fact, I don't want you to take it home. I want you to do it today while we're in services. We're going to talk today about valuing God's people. We're going to talk about valuing God's people. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 142. Psalm 142. If you don't know where Psalms is, it's normally right dead center in the middle of your Bible. Then just look for 142, Psalm 142. If you're one of those guys that carry like a big note, a Bible filled with all sorts of notes, it might be a little to the left, but Psalm 142. The Bible says this. This is a very interesting psalm. This psalm is written by the anointed king of Israel. He was a simple shepherd boy. God sent Samuel to his home. He was content watching his father's sheep. But God called him through Samuel, anointed him to be the king of Israel. There was a king at that time. His name was Saul. Saul had been disobedient to God, and so God said, I'm removing you, and I'm going to put on the throne a son of Jesse. He told Saul that was going to happen. David comes to the kingdom. The first big act that we hear about that he does is he kills Goliath as a 17-year-old boy. This becomes a irritation to Saul, and he wants David destroyed because people are praising David, and they're not praising him as highly. And so he gets upset. He determines he is going to have this kid killed. And several times he tries to see David killed, and it doesn't happen. And so now David is running. He's a fugitive. He's running for his life. He's the anointed king. God has promised him the kingdom. And yet he's running for his life. He's got someone who he really loves and respects and admires who's out to kill him. He's in a tough state. David is leaving. However, this is interesting. When he leaves, people so admired him, he had 600 men who went with him. And they were on his side. Yet here's what David writes at this time. He's hiding in a cave. And he writes this psalm. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. That is, he's in this cave. He's all by himself. And he starts talking out loud to God. And saying, Lord, I need you. And this is what he says. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I told him everything that was going on. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid snares for me? He said, you know they're after me. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. I'm trying to be obedient to you, and they're after me. Everything seems to be going wrong. They're fighting against me. He says, everybody's against me. Now, there are 600 guys that have followed him. But he's alone in this cave saying out loud to God, God, everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. There was no man that cared about me. Refuge failed me, he says. No man cared for my soul. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be a caring people. I pray, Father, you would just help us to see that if we are truly going to represent you, that we must genuinely care for people. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you cared for us. And I pray, Father, that we might be a people that show your care and your love to one another so that others might know that we are your disciples. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a very fast-paced, very energized world. Things are going on all around us, and we can get so busy in life doing things that we can walk by people who need our care and need our touch and not even know that they are there. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, when we come to this word, value, I think it's so important that you understand and that I understand that God cares about people. In fact, our first point today is God values people. God cares about people. Here is David. 600 men are there. They're in turmoil, and he's alone with God saying, no one cares for my soul. There are people all around us who were wondering if anybody really cares, if anybody really thinks about them, if anybody ever even gives them a thought. Our responsibility as children of God is to show people that God cares about them. How do we know that God cares? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God," Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, "being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He wasn't grasping at something. He wasn't exalting himself to be equal with God. He was God in human flesh. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Jesus Christ is God. But the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible tells us that Christ loves us. God loves us so much that he was willing to come to this earth. Now look at this. The Bible says that God loved us while we were still sinners. He loved us so much, because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. But God cares about us. Even when we do wrong, even when we're in rebellion against him, even when the whole world has walked away from him. And by the way, God could have taken the world and just crunched it, and it would have been over. He could have said, this little pea at the edge of the universe isn't worth anything, and squished us all. It could have been all over. But he didn't do that. He cared about us. He cared about us so much that he didn't want us to be separated from him. So God became a man. As a man, he lived on this earth for 33 years, and then he went to a cross and he died to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin. The Bible says he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he rose from the dead. He was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses. And then he went back to heaven. Now the Bible says that since he's paid for my sin, I don't have to pay for my own sin myself. The Bible tells us this, that in order to get to heaven, all I have to do is come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I know that you are God. I believe that. I believe that you died in my place to pay for my sin. I admit that I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. And I know you died in my place. You paid for my sin. I believe you were buried and that you rose from the dead, having paid for my sin. And I want to ask you to give me eternal life." The Bible says it this way: "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say sometime in the future. It says right now. If you ask Jesus to give you eternal life, boom, right now, he will give you eternal life. And the Bible says when we do that, we become his children. As his children, when we die physically, our soul and spirit immediately go to be with God in heaven. And he has a body prepared for us there, and we will dwell forever with him. It's a wonderful truth. But I want you to understand this, that Jesus did that. Look, by the way, there are people who are trusting good works to get them to heaven. They're trusting their baptism to get them to heaven. They're trusting church membership to get them to heaven. I want to tell you this. Those will not get you to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's why Jesus died. If there was any other way, Jesus would have never gone to the cross. He died to give you eternal life, and the only way you can have eternal life is by asking Jesus to give you eternal life. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And when he gives you eternal life, you are his forever. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. He did that because he cares. He proved to us that he cares. Now, what exactly did he do? Well, we just read this passage. In this passage, the first thing it says is that he left his comfort zone. Heaven's a pretty comfortable place. You understand? He's on the throne there in heaven, and angels are all around. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, all they can do is say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory." That he has everything he wants. He has every comfort. He has the praise and the adoration of all that's there, and whatever else is included in the universe, they all adore him. And he said, "I'm willing to leave that." Can I tell you this? We have to be willing to leave our protected places if we're going to care for people like God cares for us. We are comfortable. I said to a lady some time ago, years ago, I said, she used to come and sit right back here. I said, "You know what we need to do, if as Christians, we need to reach out and befriend the world. We need to let people know we care about them. We need to welcome people in." And she looked at me and she said, "I have enough friends. I don't need any more." And I thought, wow, we got that sort of messed up. The fact is, it's not about what she needs. It's about the fact that somebody needs you. But it's hard to get out of our comfort zone and walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, what's your name?" "Jason." I knew that. I didn't know Kelly a few minutes ago, but I knew Jason. It's difficult to walk up to somebody because you might say to somebody, "How long have you been coming here? Are you brand new?" And then he'll say, "No, I've been coming here for 6 months." Then you feel embarrassed. It's a little hard to walk out of your comfort. It's hard to say to somebody, "Hey, would you like to take me out for dinner this afternoon?" That's a very difficult thing to do because that's going to cost me something. That's going to cost me something. I'm glad to know that. I want some of those tacos actually saved for me by the juniors and seniors. Please mark that down. Somebody who's listening to that someplace, 5 tacos for Pastor Tice, and I'll pay for them. So unless you'll like to pay for them, Mark, and Mark's going to pay for them. So the point is this. The Bible tells us he left his comfort zone. He left his comfort zone to get beat up, to get spit upon, to get laughed at. Sometimes it's difficult dealing with people because you don't know how they're responding to you and you don't know what they're going to do to you. That's exactly what he did. And then he went where people were. Jesus left heaven and came to earth. We need to get down where people are. Listen, I'm telling you, within this church, you can come in, you've already met 5 or 6 or 8 people, they're your friends, they're the ones you talk to every week. There's people that you want to avoid, like Rob. Could you stand up? No, don't stand up. I'm just kidding. People you just try to stay away from. But there are people that need you to welcome them and love them. God wants us to value people. God values people. Not only did he leave his comfort zone and come to earth, he cared more about others than he did about himself. The Bible says in this passage that we were looking at that he made himself of no reputation. That is, it wasn't about him. He said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's not about what you come to me. It's not about what I'm going to get from you. Steve, it's about what he's going to give to us. It's amazing. He says, "Come, come, come. You can come and you can take from me." He lived his life to serve, not to be served. He took the form of a servant, our passage says. In Matthew chapter 20, it says, Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. He lived a life of sacrifice. He went to the death of the cross. He did that. Why? Because God cares for people. God cares about people. That obnoxious neighbor of yours who's constantly dropping his trash in your yard, God cares about him. That person that irritates you at work, in fact, is constantly picking on you, God cares about that person. You may think, I don't know why, but he does. That person in church that just constantly rubs you the wrong way, God wants you. God cares about that person. God cares about that person. He sacrificed everything so that that person could be saved. Number one, God cares about people. Number two, God wants us to value people. God wants you and me to value people. He said this in Philippians 2. Again, go to that next verse. That's how God cared for us. He said, let this mind be in you. The idea here is think this way. You think the way Christ thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Gibson, think about him and think the way he thinks. And so when you come to church, don't think about what I'm getting out of this. Think about what I'm going to put into this. Wow, what a change. So David, I'm coming not to be to be ministered to, but I'm coming to minister to someone else. Because the truth of the matter is, I need you as much as you need me. James, I need you. And we need to understand that everyone that comes in this church needs someone caring about them. And Christ came and he cared about people. He wants us to care about people. We need to let people know that we value them. We need to let people know that they're important to us. We can take for granted the people that are closest to us. We do this to our spouse. Come home at night and she's been working all day and you've been working all day, and we can just take each other for granted. Value. Does your wife know that you value her? How can I show her that I value? Listen to her. Do you pray with her? Do you touch her? And not just in a sensual manner. Does your husband know that you value him? Do you show him respect? Do you submit to him? Do your children know that you value them so that you play with them? You go and you play with them. My grandchildren come over to my house and they immediately want to start playing because that's what we do. It's amazing. I'm going to be totally worn out. And they say, "Hey, let's go, Grandpa." When I know they're at the front door, I get down on my knees and I open the door. They're scared now when I open the door. And I grab them. My granddaughter, Joanna, she always gives me noses. She gives me noses. It's very special. And then her brother, John David, gets herber-derbers from me. You know what an herber-derber is? An herber-derber is me just throwing him upside down. The other day he said, my foot hurts. And so I reached over and I said, which foot? He said, this one. And I just picked him up and jacked him up like that. And he's hanging upside down. He loved that. Then I herber-derbered him. I don't even know what that word, where that came from. Did your kids know that you value them? Do you ever look at your kids and just say to them, you know what? I am so honored to be able to be called your dad. I'm so honored to be able to be called your mom. How about your fellow employers or your employees or your employer? You ever say to your boss, hey, I just want you to know, he might fall over backwards because people don't value people and they feel undervalued all the time. Lady was ministering in a Christian school, and she's been there for several years. This happened like 40 years ago. And she walked up because she had a problem after the service one Sunday night. She began to talk to the pastor, The pastor said, well, it's good to see you, and just turned around and started talking to somebody else, not even realizing that she had a burden on her heart and she just needed to talk to him. Well, the church ran around 2,500 people, so that I can understand his situation. She went home that night, and I only know this story because he told it. She went home that night and wrote a note that in this busy world, nobody cares about me, and she took her own life. No one cares about me. Can I tell you what? The world is filled with people like that. Your husband, your wife, your children, they need to know that you love them. Your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ need to know that you love them. You say, well, you know what? I come to church and nobody ever talks to me. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Don't put yourself in the plum crowd. What's the plum crowd? That's the poor little old me crowd. Don't listen to this and think, yeah, that's me. Nobody talks to me. No, look. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It means I have to walk up to somebody. You know how many times when Ken first started coming to church, I called him Mike. I don't know why. It was just Mike. That was it. I'm Mike. I thought I got Mike. And I would call him Mike. And, you know, over and over again, embarrassing myself, I would call him Mike. And he, you know what he did? He smiled and said, good to see you, Pastor. Oh. He didn't say, you dork. Why are you calling me Mike? He didn't do that. He just loved me. You know what? The truth of the matter is, people need to know that you care. And what you need to do is be willing to embarrass yourself. I'm not willing to do that. Listen, Jesus left heaven. Jesus left heaven to show us that he cared. Get out of your comfort zone. Determine today. Look, some of you are saying, I'm going home right after this. I'm getting out of here and I'm going home. You can go out and tailgate. You can eat somebody else's food. So I don't want to do that. Just go out and do it anyway. Go out and talk to people and let them know you care about them. Somebody do something special for you, let them know you appreciate them. If you just see somebody that you see all the time in church and you never talk to them, just say, hey, I want you to know I appreciate you. You're always here and I never talk to you. You say, man, even saying this makes you feel a little awkward. Look, we need to show people that we care. The Bible says this, By this shall all men, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that we are his disciples because we have love one for another. Someone was very gracious to me the other day, was walking out shaking, and he said, do you remember me? I said, I remember your face. I know that I know you, but I can't tell you. He said, well, you've got thousands of people to remember. He said, and then he told me who, I said, I know exactly who you are, and your daughter had cancer. And he said, man, I can't believe you remember that. I can't believe I remember that either. We prayed for his daughter and prayed for him, and they were back in Ohio, and he was very gracious because I didn't remember his name and told me his name. People will be gracious to you. People will be gracious. Just reach out and love people. If a man will have friends, he must show himself friendly. Go take Proverbs chapter 18, 24 and go home and memorize it and say it in the mirror. Say, I'm going to befriend. You say, if I have a hard time talking to people, talk to yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself square in the eyes and just talk to yourself. Look, the Bible tells us God wants us to care about people. Number three, God's word tells us how to show people value. God wants us to value people. It means there's, I don't know how many hundreds of people are in here today. God wants you to value them, and God wants each one of us to value one another. So how do I show value to somebody? I went on the internet, and I found a list of 50 ways to show people you value them. That's supposed to be in your bulletin. Is there a list? Good, good. Take that home and memorize it. Take that, no, you don't have to memorize it. Just look down through there. Some very simple things. But let me show you some specific things that God's word tells us. Number one, genuinely care more about others' needs than about your own needs. Look what it says in Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. This comes right before the passage we read. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Here's the problem. We don't want to be embarrassed by talking to somebody else who might reject us. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lift up others. Genuinely start caring more about other people than you do about what other people think about you. I like Richard Moses. Richard is just like excited about things. Pastor Matt's sort of like that. It's like twin brothers about 30 years apart. But Richard's like always in your face talking to you. And sometimes that's taken as arrogance or whatever. But he just keeps loving people. I love that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. That doesn't mean you walk around saying, oh, I you probably won't like me, but I wanted to say hi. That's not what that's all about. It's putting yourself out so that you might embarrass yourself, but esteem others better than yourself and think, I care more about what they need than I do about myself. Don't look at people as assets. Look at people for what you can give to them. Someone needs you to care about them. I'm telling you, it's so important. Number two, listen to people and respond to them graciously. Listen to people and respond to them graciously. James 1:19 says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak. My wife will say to me from time to time, David, you're not listening to me. And I respond, what? Because I'm not listening. And I have a horrible time. I'm terrible at that. My wife will say to me, honey, no. And then she'll say things like this, what did I just say? Oh, don't you hate it when you're caught? You say, you said something about a tree in the backyard. No, honey, I didn't say anything about a tree in the backyard. I said, you're out of your tree. No, she didn't say that. She would never say that. My wife is too gracious. Let people know that you appreciate what they do. Let people know how their service has positively affected you. Man, the choir members are up here. What was if you appreciated the choir members this morning, the choir, say amen to that. Amen. What a really great team of singers and the pianists, and they have to come and they have to practice, and we've been given such gifted musicians. You should tell them how much you appreciate them. Look, we need to value people. Your Sunday school teacher, value them. The person sitting next to you in the pew, value them. Let them know you appreciate them. It's so important. Listen and respond graciously. Let everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak. Man, so many times that's just the opposite. We're listening so that they will shut up so you can tell them what you want to say. And finally, they don't say something for a second, then you've got to get in there really quick. Listen. People need someone to listen to them. I called a lady yesterday. I was calling people that hadn't been in church and some new people have been visiting the church. I called a lady, and I started talking to her, and she just talked, I'm telling you, for 10 minutes straight. And afterwards, she said, thank you so much for your advice. I didn't say anything. People need someone who will listen to them. People just need someone who will care about them. And she's a sweet lady. And she shared with me things that are on her heart. I prayed with her at the end of the conversation. Listen, what we need to do is understand that. People need it to us to be willing to listen. Number three, constantly encourage people. constantly encourage people. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another. The word exhort means encourage. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God says that that we need to exhort one another. Isn't it interesting? He says daily. Chuck, you need someone to say something good to you daily. And you're a single guy. So there's nobody around to say anything. You need a lot of that when you come to church. We need that. You understand? And you say, well, I'm a married man. I need that. Yeah, well, sometimes married men need that even more. And you married ladies, you need to encourage one another. Exhort one another. Daily, daily, daily. John, you may be sitting up here thinking, I don't need any of that stuff. Oh, you do. You do. We all need encouragement. We need someone saying, hey, Tyrone, it's good to see you. We need to be recognized, and we need it daily, he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another as also you do. He's writing to a church, a local church, and he's saying, comfort one another. You know, these are trying days, and you think you had a trying day? I got a text from Pastor Shore last night at 10:53 or something. I was asleep. So I read it this morning about 4:30. He was asleep. And it said, there's water coming up from the middle of our house, and we don't know where it's coming from, and I'm really concerned about it. So I texted him and told him I'm praying for him, and I know that God's going to turn it around. It's going to be good. God's going to work this out for good. But that's easy for me to say. My floors are dry. Can you say amen to that? But, you know, people need comfort. People need to know that we care about them. Your faith, I don't know what you faced this week, but there was somebody that didn't like you this week. You say, not me. Yeah, somebody didn't like you this week. Lisa. Lisa was walking downstairs. They have some construction going on in their house. And Lisa was walking downstairs. Mark's upstairs, and Lisa's downstairs, and there was some construction stuff. She fell over the construction stuff and laid there in pain. She texted us and said, I just got beat up by my house. I said, if I was you, I would go around and smack some cabinets just to make yourself feel good and tell them you're the boss. We face struggles, and people need to know that we care. Comfort one another daily. The idea is daily. And then take interest in the interest of others. Take interest in the interest of others. Let me give you some verses. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He listens to us. He's concerned about what we're concerned about. He listen to the interest of others. Your kids need this from you. Your kids are interested in things you could care less about. You need to get interested in what they're interested in. I could care less about video games. But you know what? My kids love video games. My grandkids love video games. I am very good at Mario Kart. I can kill my grandkids at Mario Kart. And they wouldn't tell you that. They would say that I'm really bad. But why? Take interest in their interests. Listen to what people are saying and take interest in their interests. There are people you work with that nobody cares about their interests. I mean, if you get around Rob, talk about the Dallas Cowboys. He'll be very happy, even if you could care less. Find out what people are interested in and talk about them. Matthew chapter 6, listen. Behold the fowls of the air. I love this. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Listen, are you not much better than they? God cares about the stupid sparrows. I used to shoot sparrows with my BB gun. God cared about them. And he says, you're much better than they are. pigeons. Jeez, God cares about pigeons. We call them flying rats. But God cares about them. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says this. I love this. The Bible says we can go to him and we can cast all our cares upon him, for he will care for us. Wow. Bob, that's amazing. I can go to him and I can say, God, I'm concerned about this. And he's listening and he cares about what I care about. That's just an amazing thing, Tanya, that he would care about what I care about. God, I don't know what I'm going to do about this car. I don't know what I'm going to do about this house. I don't know what I'm going to do about the water coming up. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. And he's listening and he cares. I love it. I love the fact that he cares about us and he wants us. He's telling us. He teaches us how to care for others. Take interest in what they're interested in. And then be kind. Little things are important. The Bible says be kindly affectionate one to another. Kindly affectionate one to another. John walks in. I say, hey, John, how you doing? Good to see you. I always say to him, where's your better half? Because he has a better half. And we talk about his wife. The fact is, God wants me to be kind to him. You say, what if somebody's not kind to me? Then give them double kindness. We have no reason not to be kind. You were saved from hell. All you deserve and I deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. God loves us and saved us from going to hell. What a wonderful God. Be kindly affectioned one towards another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Man, I'm preparing this message and I'm just getting convicted and convicted and convicted. I'm thinking, do I show people that I really value them? That I really care about them? I want to reflect Christ. I love the song, Make Me a Blessing. It says, out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Oh, make me a blessing. Out of my life might Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. I love the second verse. It says, give as was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loves you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your calling be true. God wants us to be a blessing to others. God wants us to value people. People need to know we care about them. Be kind in the little things. Look, one guy said to me one day, he said, I don't give my wife birthday presents and cards, and I'm not going to support Hallmark. She knows that I love her. I thought, you stupid man. I didn't say that to him. I thought, you stupid man. A little card for $2 or $3 or $4, whatever they cost, saying I love you. Ronald Reagan wrote note after note after note after note after note to his wife. He was the governor. He was an actor. He was highly involved, traveled all around the world, was the president of the United States, and almost daily wrote his wife love notes. You say, that's just not me. Well, then, buddy, change. Start loving your wife. Birthday cards, notes of appreciation, flowers, gifts, remembering names. Just listening and caring, doing the little things. It's important. By the way, it's not just important for wives. It's important for your husband, lady. So it's so easy to say, how come you always do things wrong? How come you never do? How come I ask you to do one thing and it's always wrong, wrong, wrong? Maybe that's why he stopped doing stuff for you. Ooh, get on to the next point. Be kind. Be kind. Little things are important. Little things are important. And then, listen, do life with them. Do life with other people. Do life with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I love this verse. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ getting away with his disciples. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Wow. Jesus invited them to come away with him and just be with him. Man, that is so, so important. Letting people know that you care about them. The Bible says that as Christians, we should be given to hospitality. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Distributing to the necessities of faith, given to hospitality. It says the same thing about a pastor. The Bible says this about a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, that he is to be given to hospitality. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. That is, come away. I want to befriend you. I want you to know that I care about you. Spending time with people. I'm telling you, if you don't have a date night with your wife, you ought to, on a weekly basis. You say, what are we going to do? I'm broke. Then just go take her hand and go for a walk around the block where there's nobody but you. If you don't have time set aside for your children where you're just spending time with your children, you need to. If you don't have time set aside, you should have in your mind that I really want people to know that I care. If you can't get out, make phone calls. Text people. Let people know that you really do genuinely care for them. Do life with them. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he said, you know what, it'd be great. We were talking about camping, and he said, it'd be great just to go camping together. Your family and my family just go camping together. We love to camp. I said, I do too. I love to camp now that I have a camper. And I've got this, somebody gave me a motorhome. If you ever want to do that, feel free. But I already have one. So, because somebody gave me a motorhome. So I said, we'll go camping. I said, I'll take my motorhome and we'll tent right next to you. Well, we had a good time just talking about that. Invite people into your life. And then lastly, do all you can to help others succeed at their goals. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 14. It says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify. The word edify, right there at the bottom left-hand corner, the word edify means build up. I'm supposed to do everything I can to help build up other people. It's not about me. My relationship with you should never be about me. It should be about me building you up. The same thing is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, that is, build up one another, even as also you do. So the idea is, lose your self-fear. Refuse to use people and let others use you. I had a guy say to me one time, he used to say, I want God to use me, I want God to use me, I want God to use me. We were sitting in my carport one time, 40-some years ago, I'm sitting in my carport, he's sitting next to me, and he said, I'm sick and tired of people using me. I said, well, you always say you want God to use you. He said, I'm talking about God, not people. I want you to understand, the way God uses you is through people. People are all out there with all sorts of needs, and God wants to use you to encourage them. Build them up. Refuse to use people. Refuse to use people for your benefit. Let other people use you. Don't be a kingdom builder in your own life. Help other people build their lives. Value others and show that that and show people that you care about them. God values people. God wants you to value people. God has shown us how to do it. So let's go and value people. Let's value people. Now, normally I would say, let's pray, bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want you to do that today. I want you to take that card. There's a card. There's cards in the pew and chair in front of you. There's some in the bulletin that look like this, and it says very simply, I appreciate you. If you do not have one, if you can't get one, the ushers should be ready to pass some out. Do we have Joe in the back? You got some more of these? We should have, I want to make sure everybody has one of these. Everyone take one of these. Okay, if you don't have one, raise your hand, and we'll get one to you. Look, there's all sorts of people who don't have one. Run. We appreciate you, Rick. Run. We appreciate you, Joe. Run. Get these out. I want everyone to get one of these. I don't want anybody not to have one of these. These are free. All right? Get this. All right? This is what I want you to do. The hands are up. Just keep your hands up. They're coming to you. They're coming to you. They're supposed to be in the chairs in front of you. There's none in the chairs in front of you? Okay. That's Richard's fault. The one I just bragged about. Okay, just keep your hands up and we'll make sure that everyone gets one. I want everyone to get one of these. Very, very important. Make sure you get one. All right. Now, keep your hands up. They're coming. I'm going to continue through this. I appreciate you, it says on the top. I want you to think of somebody you appreciate. And I know I don't want a bunch of cards for me. Because so many of you always tell me you appreciate me, and I'm thankful for that. And if you want to write an extra one for me, that's fine. But I want you to think about somebody in this church that you appreciate. Philippians says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I want you to think about somebody that you appreciate, maybe sitting in this auditorium right now. And I want you to write a note, and I want you to tell them why you appreciate them. If it's just their smiling face, I want you to know I appreciate your smiling face. If you're a teenage guy, I'm not saying to write this to a teenage girl. I'm saying just let your you got a brother or a sister in Christ, write them a note. So we're talking about practicing what I preach this morning. Now some of you are sitting there. Okay, yeah, anybody else? Anybody else? What? This doesn't say I appreciate you?
It does, but it's different from the card.
This is not the connection card. This is, thank you for saying that. This is an appreciation card, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to say, okay, Lord, thank you for convicting me that I need to show appreciation to somebody. Might be the wife sitting next to you. Might be your husband sitting next to you. I want you to write down. You say, I'm not good with words. Well, get good. Don't say bad words. You can just say, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know that I appreciate you. I want you to know that this action that you do, thank you for singing in the choir. Thank you for teaching my children. Thank you for what you've done. Take time right now to write that note. To let someone know that you appreciate them. Okay, now I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute and ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask this question. Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He cares about you. He values you. He wants you to get to heaven. But you're not going to get there by being good or going to church or doing anything else. The only way you can get to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. He died on the cross for you. He paid for your sin. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He did that so you could get to heaven. And the only way you can get to heaven is by calling on him and saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I admit that, and I want to ask you to give me eternal life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, would you do that right now? Just say these words to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I know that you are God. And I know you died to pay for my sin. I believe I am a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But right now, I'm calling on you. And I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Help me now to live for you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've called on Christ today, then you're on your way to heaven. If you said that and you meant that with your whole heart, the Bible says Jesus saved you. I want to encourage you to keep living for him. Father, I pray you'll help us to take what we've heard and live for you. Help those that just called on you to grow in you, and help those that are just regular attenders here or that are Christians. Help us to live this message. Help us to show value to people that we show that we really do value them. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.